Well, guys, we're going to talk about an important subject today, very important. It's important on living a life wisely that means glorifying God, that means building up those who are around you, that means really proclaiming the gospel and living the gospel and be a light in the darkness. We're going to talk about navigating words wisely, how we use our words, how we use our speech, how we use our communication. You speak roughly 25,000 words a day. How do you manage those words? How do you manage those 25,000 words? Now, what I don't want you to hear today is, oh my goodness, I speak horribly. I'm horrible. God doesn't love me. I'm worthless. I don't deserve it. I want us to rightly be convicted if our words do not glorify God, if our words tear down others, if our words are detrimental. I don't want you to be condemned. And I want us to learn the difference between that. Conviction is life in conviction. We should feel conviction as we walk this path of being a Christian. Because when we're not doing something that is honoring God, when we're sinning, you should feel convicted about it. That's natural. But it's the conviction that's saturated with grace so that you repent and you change. Condemnation is, I'm not worth it. I'm never going to get there. I'm nothing. I knew I wasn't right in the eyes of God. I know I'm worth it. Like, that's condemnation. What I want you to hear is grace today. So if you get convicted, that's good. The gospel brings conviction. But the gospel right away brings life and says, I'm changing you. I'm making you more holy. I'm making you more like me. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will cause your words to bring me glory. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I want to tell you a story of a kitchen knife. You guys love when I do that. This guy made a kitchen knife. The purpose of this kitchen knife was to cut dinners up for families, for people, so they can enjoy life. Cut a nice steak, cut some nice vegetables, enjoy life, sit around the table, receive life. So he made this tool to do that. It was a sharp tool. It was right. He made this tool with a purpose. One day a family goes into the grocery store. They're looking for a kitchen knife. They get this kitchen knife. They bring it home. And for a while they're using it for the right reasons. They make a dinner right away, because when you buy something new, you got to use it right away. They make a dinner right away. They use it to feed their family. Their family happens. Their family is happy. They're using that tool for the purpose it was made. Then one day, the father of this family, under the influence of the enemy, takes that kitchen knife and he does something horrible. He uses it to kill his family. I just read that this week. A man took something that was meant to bring life, something that wasn't made for murder, and he used it to kill his wife and his two children. That's how we use words sometimes. Our words are meant to edify. Our words are meant to give grace to the hearer. Our words are meant to be appropriate and lift people up, glorify God, and pray, and communicate. Sometimes we use it to bring death to others. So Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. We need to hear this in Boston, because there's something wrong with our tongues. There's something wrong with our words. The way we speak to each other, the way we react to each other, the names we call each other, the gossip we use, the slander we use, the dishonesty we use. Dishonors God. It's sinful. And by His grace, He's calling us today to say, Lord, change my words, change my heart, that all my speech might glorify You. So the first thing I want us to talk about is how powerful words really are. Because what happens is, we don't realize the power of words, we'll just use them casually. And when you use something that's powerful, that it can either bring life or death casually, and you don't think about the words you are speaking, that can be devastating. That can be devastating. Anything that's powerful can bring life or bring death, because it's that powerful. You got to manage it well. So I don't want to say I love the ocean, because there's sharks in there, but I love looking at it and going in about 10 feet. But the ocean is powerful. It's beautiful. It brings life. You go to the beach, you enjoy it. But if you don't respect the ocean and realize how powerful it is, you can get caught in an undertow and you could drown. Same with nature. Nature is beautiful. We love to behold it. We see the beauty of it. But you don't want to get caught in a storm because it will bring death. Many of us love animals. Animals are powerful, though. You see that, there's a powerful documentary called Blackfish. Did you see that on Netflix about the killer whales? Let me tell you, I was at SeaLand this past summer, and I sat in that show, and I watched those animals jump out of the water. They are beautiful, majestic. That's all I could come up with, these killer whales. They were jumping out of the water, and I'm standing there. It caused me to glorify God. I said, these things are so majestic and so beautiful and so powerful. I was in awe of God. But if you watch that documentary, you realize if you don't manage that well, you could lose your life. It's the same with our words. I want us to understand that when we yield our words, when we speak our words, they are not casual things. They are powerful things that bring life to the hearers, or they bring death to those who hear them. So let's just read some other scriptures so we can think about and know. And I want this to really sink in how powerful are the words we speak of. James 3:6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Wow. James 3:5 says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." Isn't that so true? Can't our words just set fire in our situations? How many times do we speak words we shouldn't speak in the situations, and they catch fire? And that's what happens with words. They don't stop. They spread. They spread. They either spread and they bring life like good medicine, or they spread and they bring death like a virus. Now, how words can bring life, in Proverbs 13:3, it says, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life." I want us to come out of here today saying, I'm going to guard my words. I'm going to think about what I'm saying. I'm not going to yield the weapon of words casually. In Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts." So that's on the negative side. "But the tongue of the wise brings healing." Don't we want to hear healing words? Don't we want to speak healing words? Your words are so powerful. When they're used appropriately, they can speak healing into someone's life. It's a beautiful weapon that we have. And finally, Psalm 39:1. David, a man seeking after the heart of God, says, "I said I will guard my ways, that I will not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth." Did we win? I still love you, baby. 2-point game. "I will guard my mouth with a muzzle, so long as the wicked are in my presence." So some of us need a gospel muzzle on our words. That's a good image to have. Words are powerful and they need to be used rightly and wisely. So we come to the question naturally, what are our words meant for? And we see in Ephesians 4:29, it really tells us what our words are meant for. And I just want to read that one more time. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth." And here you hear what words are meant for. "But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Your words are meant to give grace to those who hear. This is so important. Do you realize how much people in this world need grace. They don't need judgment. They don't need condemnation. They don't need to say, follow these rules. You know what I mean? When you receive grace, your heart is compelled to follow the rules. When you receive grace, your heart is compelled to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you receive grace, you receive life. When you receive legalism, it brings ultimate death. So as I prepared to preach on words this week, I said to myself, I'm not fit. Right? As I think about my word management, I say, man, I have so far to go with my word management. I have so far to be changed by the power of the gospel. But then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, it's by my grace alone. And God slowly teaches us through the power of the gospel how to use our words rightly so that people will hear grace. Every time you speak to someone, you should intentionally be saying, are my words bringing grace into this person's life? So the first thing it tells us is to build people up. Our words are meant to build people up. So we realize the other negative side, and we'll get there. We realize how much words can tear us down. Does everyone realize that? I mean, words can tear us down. But words can build us up in the most encouraging way because words can give us identity. I remember this dude, his father, he had four kids. And he would call his son handsome. That was it. I don't even remember what his first name was, his son. Because he called his son handsome so much. Hey, handsome. How you doing, handsome? You got him. You go get him, handsome. This kid, by the time he walked into a room, he was the Brad Pitt in his heyday, Legends of the Fall style, just walking through like, handsome's in the house. Because the words he spoke shaped his life. We need to use our words to build people up, and we do this by looking for the evidence of grace in their life. Because words are huge. You guys, when we're watching the Super Bowl, I'm sure many of you watched the Super Bowl, we rooted against the Broncos, thank God. They were interviewing Russell Simmons, and he's a Christian. There's a few guys who are Christian on the team, Russell Simmons. And they interviewed him right after he won the Super Bowl. And they asked him, they said, Russell, you know, how'd you get to this place? He said, well, I'll tell you this. He said, I was 5'11", and they said I couldn't play pro football because I was too short. And he said, I watched these other QBs. And these QBs, I watch them, and I'd be amazed by them, and I wanted to pursue a life to be in professional sports. And he said, my dad looked at me, and he said these words to me. He said, why not you, Russ? Why not you? So all other words outside, all other people saying, Russ, you can't do it. You're not big enough. You're not talented enough. You can't make it. But then that dad who saw God's grace in his life said, why not you, Russ? And his father passed away. He wasn't there when he won the Super Bowl. And what did he share on his first interviews? The words his father spoke to him. He said, my dad told me with words that gave me life, that saw God's grace in life, that I was called to this. And he said, why not you, Russ? And that changed his life. They also need to be words that are appropriate for the situation. Because that says fit for the occasion. Our words need to look at the situation and need to say, does this person need counsel? Do they need comfort? Do they need encouragement? Do they need forgiveness? Do they need correction? What does this situation look like? One of my neighbors, I won't use their name, he's been asking me for like, since I moved into my house, it feels like, to come over and play the guitar with him. And I keep saying, okay, well, do it tomorrow. You know, my cowboy days are over. I got 3 chords in a minor. I lived it up in my 20s. And he says, come over, play your guitar. We'll play the guitar. Finally, last Sunday afternoon, I went over there. We played the guitar. We were getting down little Zach Brown and other such things. And right before we started, his wife came up. And what happened was their daughter was going through a divorce. The husband one day just said, I don't want this. He Here comes my 10-second rant on men. They need to grow up. They need to be committed. They need to work hard for their family. They need to stay committed for their life. We'll be back to the message. She started telling me how devastated it was. And she started crying. She started crying about what her daughter was going through. He just said, one day after 7 years, I don't want to do this anymore. And she was crying, and Dad was crying. And I said, I was trying to look for appropriate words, because what do you say in that situation? You don't stop reprimanding people, right? This is what some people would do. Oh, you didn't see what kind of guy he was before she married him? You love these people, right? You come, you're all beaten up, and they just start. I got him. Some people use their run. Why didn't you see it coming? You should have saw that 14 years ago, 7 years ago. Those are words that aren't appropriate for the situation, right? But I started saying to you, to her, I said, it's going to be all right. God's going to work it all out for good. It's okay. You're going to make it. Start speaking words of grace. Words of grace into her life. You know what she said at the end? She said, Joey, if my daughter needs to talk to you, can she? But she said, people need to hear words of encouragement. They need to hear words of grace, words that are appropriate for the situation. We don't want to be around people who use their words negatively. I want to stay far away from people who use their words. I can't stand it. Who wants to walk into a situation, spend a few hours, and feel worse when you come out? I'm telling you, you do not want to be around people who tear you down. You want to be around people who speak grace into your life. You know, I know this one guy. He's a pastor over in Andover Free Christian Church. And he's always a guy, when I see him, he's always speaking grace. You know, he's always, whatever he says, he's speaking grace into your life. And so we had a little meeting, and we're all around the table. And they had a presenter that just wasn't a gifted communicator. So once this brother started, everyone was just like, I was thinking, can I get called into work? You know what I mean? Like, it was a tough run. And so they went around it, and to be honest, it really was dead. And I'm not saying people didn't have their hearts right in it, and people really were doing their best, but a lot of these pastors just found themselves at a dead end, where they couldn't change the institution, and they were going through the same old thing. It was more about programs and things than it was about the gospel. And it got to me, and I said, why am I like this? Why do I? And I was going to speak words, not to anyone, but I felt like I need to speak words into it. I said, God, why'd you make me like this? I want to be quiet sometimes. I don't want to have to feel like this. But it just rumbled up in me, and I said, listen, guys, I say this in all grace. It's about the gospel. If you get people to the gospel, if you get them to treasure the gospel, you don't have to teach them how to witness, because people share about what they love the most organically and naturally. You don't even have to train them. If you love something, you bubble over. You tell people. You won't hide. You tell them. If that's your greatest treasure. And I went on a grace-filled rant. And at the very end, I said, man, I was feeling a little insecure, to be honest. And I said, guys, I just had to shake things up a little. Kind of like, God made me this way. And he said, Joey, I like it when you shake it up in front of everyone. He said, we needed to hear that. See how words can bring life to a situation that after you said, Joey, you lit him up. That helped me, because I was feeling insecure, because I felt like I needed to speak that, not to a person, but to a situation about the gospel and his grace. And I needed someone else to use their words to pour grace into my life right there. Your words are powerful, and you can use them every day in your life to build people up. They can fit the occasion. They can give grace to the hearers, and people are going to want to be around you, and it gives you a great opportunity to share the gospel. People want to be around people who are encouraging and who lift them up. So I want to talk about words that are detrimental, but I don't want to overly focus on this, because I want you guys to come out of here and say, how do I speak words of life? But there is a corrupt talk talked about in Ephesians 4:29. There's corrupt talk. And corrupt talk is this. The word used here for corrupt is like rotting food. It's words that rot fruit. Like it just rots it. It tears life out of it. It's detrimental to others. Corrupt talk is detrimental to the people around you. So, one thing about the Christian faith, we're not supposed to just think of ourselves. We're supposed to think of how our lives affect other people. And this even spreads to our words. How do our words affect other people? Corrupt talk is lying. It is gossiping. It is slander. It's using vulgar language. And I'm not saying, like, if you say poop. You know, some people say that was vulgar. Like, I'm not talking, like, I knew a guy, he thought everything was wrong. Everything was a cuss word. He, like, his major cuss word, like, someone better go stinker. And I was like, man, that don't even qualify. You know, that don't even qualify. Listen, we should watch our mouths, but I don't want us to get over legalistic because people get crazy with what's vulgarity and what's not. We know what's vulgar and we know what's not vulgar, and we need to stay away from that. Also, mockery. Do you realize our sarcasm, it hurts people many times. You really gotta watch. And I'm speaking to myself now. But I'm telling you, if you met me in my early 20s, late teens, I would just make fun of everyone. I didn't care who you were. I'd made fun of you. You walked in the room, I laid you out, made fun of you, we moved on. But you realize a lot of times when we make fun of people, it really hurts and they'll never share it. And I also want us to have a balance here because, you know, there's a balance there. You can joke about stuff. But I remember one guy, I was on a worship team in my 20s, and I was at that point where God really needed to prune some of my sarcasm out of my life because I was really, you know, people weren't feeling secure around me because they thought that I would make fun of them. One day this guy walked in, and he was part of the group. He was in his 50s. So you think, oh, someone's in their 50s. They got to be secure, right? That's not true. We're always human beings. Words always hurt. And so I would always make fun of him. Like, there was an old mic stand, and I was like, that looks like you beat down. Like, but I'm thinking, this guy's a rock. This don't hurt him. One day he pulled me aside and said, Joey, you hurt me. You always make a fun. And it really helped change the trajectory of how I use my words. Now I'm still growing. If I've made fun of you, I apologize. I'm really trying to grow, and I'm really trying to be conscious of it, because I realize our words shape people so much. They hurt people. Even when we talk about someone's appearance and we make a big deal out of, this is your appearance, you talk like this, or you might be socially awkward, that hurts people. That shapes them. They're not powerless words. They hurt. And they shape people's identity. And we need to use our words to bring life. I'm telling a lot of stories today, but, you know, when you preach on this stuff, a lot of stories happen. I was in CVS, and I'm picking up a few things, some razors and such on Friday. And you ever met this woman? And I'm not making fun of her because she's not a person, but I'll joke around a little bit. This woman who has a cell phone, and for some reason she decides that everyone needs to hear a conversation. Right? In the middle of CVS, just like... And you're like, and just yelling. And she's yelling. And I look over the thing and she looks back like, see what I'm doing? And she's just like, you know how it goes. Let me hit her first before you hit her. I was like, what? She's like, I'm going to hit her because she don't know what's going on. I was her friend. Now she's not my friend. And you know whose friend is what friend. And I was like, what is going on right here? Why is she telling Wakefield? And why are her words reaching all the way to Montrose Ave? Why? So what really disturbed me is as she's gunning off, she comes around the corner and her little 4-year-old son is right behind her. I said, not only is she speaking those corrupt words, but her son's learning by watching her to speak those corrupt words. They watch us. They watch us. We're all examples. How do we speak around our children? How do we speak to those who are younger than us? How do we speak to those who look up to us? How does our speech glorify God? How are we teaching the younger generation to speak? It's huge. The way you speak, the way you use your words will influence the people around you. So then we get to the heart of the matter. Because some of us said, man, I've been using my words wrong. If you're like me and you're preparing for this message, like, God forgive me, help me. I need to repent, I need to grow, but I know you're still with me. See, the issue isn't with our words. Right? It is with our words. But we go to the source of what makes us speak our words like that. What is the spring of our words? What is the source of our words? What makes us speak like that? Our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is corrupt, your speech is going to be corrupt. Proud people don't encourage others. Proud people don't have good things to say about others because their pride won't let them. But hearts that have been shaped by the gospel and truly get the gospel will speak words of life into other people's lives. They will be humble enough to see the evidence of God's grace in other people's lives. I'm convinced, and I try to walk the line on this honestly. I really do. But I'm convinced that many churches miss the grace of the gospel. The grace of it. So if you're taught the gospel is, you have to be so good, then you'll find favor with God. You know what you're going to do? You're going to actually start thinking you're that good and looking at other people like they're not that good. Right? Because you'll say, I earned this. Look how righteous I am. They're not up to par. They're not good enough. They don't act enough. They're not worthy of God's love. That's what happens when you preach a gospel of works. No one's ever good enough. And when you're prideful like that, you can never see God's grace in anything. 100 things will happen that are filled with grace. You'll look at that one thing and you'll say, I can't believe that happened. You'll find that one negative thing and you'll miss the 99 things that were grace filled. You'll miss those 9 things that the person did great and you'll see that one thing they did wrong. That's what prideful, corrupt hearts do that don't get the gospel of grace. Now let me tell you what the gospel is. Hear this. Because not only people who don't believe need to hear the gospel, we need to hear it. The gospel is not about how good you are. The gospel is not about what you earn. The gospel is not about how you special you are. The gospel is about how good God is. The gospel is about how perfect Jesus was. The gospel is about undeserved love towards you, not deserved merit. And when you get a hold of that, you start looking at the world differently. Because when your heart is filled with the grace of God, you start to see His grace everywhere. And when your heart is filled with corruption, you see negative, misery, depression, anxiety everywhere. But when the gospel hits your heart, you say, man, I'm unworthy. I'm absolutely unworthy. I don't deserve this salvation. He's poured His grace out on me. I wake up every day and I know I'm not perfect, but He's still moving in my life. He's still loving me as a child. He's still making me more like Him. He's still using me for His glory. That's unbelievable. Then you can encourage people. Then you can speak words that bring life into the situation. Because that's how you encourage. This is what I want us to leave here today. Look how God is working in someone's life. That's what encouraging people do. That's what people who intentionally want people to hear grace. Not how are they falling short? Oh, they're doing the same thing again. How is God working His grace out in someone's life? And so we have a men's Bible study on Monday night. And I'm sure this man will be fine with me sharing this. But we've had one guy from the Kelly House who's been there every meeting. And they've been going great. We had a great reading on last Monday night too. But this one guy has been there for every meeting. And it was so encouraging me. Not that you have to make every meeting. You can miss meetings. But he was there asking questions about growing in Jesus. Like, really? How do you repent? Trying to understand the gospel of grace. Encourage. Reading the scriptures. Growing. Just faithful. It was unbelievable. So at the end of one night, I just was so encouraged by seeing God's grace in his life that I said, I got to say something to him. I've got to say something to him. And I said to this person, I said, I got to tell you how encouraging it is as a pastor to see the growth in your life. How encouraging it is to see God's grace all over your life. And he said, I needed to hear that. That's what he said. I needed to hear that. How many of us sometimes just need to hear encouraging words and we need to say, I needed to hear that. We all need to hear that. We need to hear words that build us up, words that shape us, words that encourage, words that help us move forward. So one of your faith in practice I want to give you this week as you leave this message. I want you to see, who can you intentionally encourage this week? Is it an email using your words that you need to send someone? Believe me, that makes you vulnerable, man. I felt compelled, like, Natalie and I went out with the cruises, not this Friday, but the Friday before, had a great time. And I felt compelled to just write an email to Matt to tell him how much I'm thankful for his friendship and what he's invested in my life. It doesn't have to be long, but I used my words and I sent it. You know, when you're a dude, it's hard sometimes. You know, we're just walking through chewing rock, right? But sent that email to encourage him with words. Who in your life needs encouragement this week? Who can you speak to or email or say, it's been huge what you've done in my life? Guard your words. This means social media to me. Social media isn't a place for you to vent. It isn't a place for you to use your words at the detriment to the detriment of other people. And it's not a place to send those subversive little quotes either. Like, you know, when something big goes on, share it. And they don't say it's directly about that person, but everyone knows the words are about that person. Didn't we just go through this and have a fight? I wasn't thinking of you. Yeah, you were. Social media is not a place to use your words corruptly against other people or to make your point. If anything, use it to proclaim the gospel and use it to encourage people and use it for words that are fit for the occasion. Social media, great thing, but those are still words to get them down. Now, finally, and this is important that I hear it. I need to hear it all the time, so I preach it to you. Many times as we're walking this journey of faith, and we would come to messages like that, sometimes we hear about our words, and we just feel far off, right? Like I say, my words, out of those 25,000 words, like 24,517 are corrupt, you know? How do I manage my words? And I say that. What I want you to realize is God's going to continue to perform his grace in you. I want you to hear the words of Jesus. Because some of us think we can't get there. I'm not going to grow. Why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep speaking like that? Why do I keep gossiping? Why do I keep slandering? Why am I drawn to these things? I want you to hear the words of God right now and what God says to you. Be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 1:6. See how the word of God is grace-filled? It's fit for the occasion. It changes our life. That's what our speech needs to do in our everyday life. Change the lives of people around you. Speak life. Speak the gospel. Know the gospel. Amen.